Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Francis Butler on TRE.
Hello. Well, we have just listened to the Cantique de Jean Racine, composed by Gabriel Fauré, at the age of 19, just before leaving the Niedermeyer School of Music in Paris in 1865. The Cantique de Jean Racine was a prayer, an offering, and I am told with Jansenist leanings. Jansenism, in a nutshell, makes life all about predestination and the absolute inherent wickedness of humankind, which, made seeking one's salvation rather hard to achieve. The prayer, or cantique itself, was a translation of an ancient or early 3rd century Christian text by the 17th century French playwright Jean Racine, who cunningly added the Jansenist underscore. Whether or not the young Fauré was aware of this, I really don't know, but one does wonder at the motivation of its being performed on certain occasions, past and present. I feel that that recording was a perfect example of how healing, well-rehearsed sacred choir music can be. It's like a great sonic soft white bandage applied with soothing ointment on an open sore or a wound. And in that instant, the choir, with the healing chords comprised of the members of the Rundfunkchoir Berlin. Now, as if to ensure the healing process is complicated, whether one needs it or not, I shall now put on another choral recording, and by so doing, I am behaving just as a 17th century Jansenist would. Music Exkerlin's Kammerchor Pitié, Andrea Haugnag and Eric Westberg. I bet you didn't catch any of that, but I was trying my very best. It's a Swedish University Chamber Choir of Piteå at Luleå University of Technology, conducted by the great international Swedish choir master Eric Westberg. And this from an album released in 2003. Andrea Hagman takes the solo lead in this da capo aria from Purcell's Music for a While, written as incidental music to John Dryden's and Nathaniel Lee's version of Sophocles' play Oedipus, first performed in 1673 at the most luxurious playhouse in London, the Duke's Theatre in Dorset Gardens, sitting prettily on the Thames riverfront, where in 1660, women were allowed to perform on stage for the very first time with the demise of the Cromwellian interregnum. Music for a while shall all your cares beguile, wondering how your pains were eased and disdaining to be pleased. Till Alecto free the dead from their eternal bands, till the snakes drop from her head and the whip from out of her hands. Music for a while shall all your cares beguile.
Thank you.
music, Hoax Collins Kammerchor PTA performing Henry Purcell's music for a while. I must have so many versions, transcriptions, jazzy improvisations of Purcell's music in my files. And yet, when I was young, his repertoire seemed so limited to me. We are indeed fortunate to live in an age where music is so easily accessible, even to the point of surfeit. A veiled reference to Orsino's opening lines in Twelfth Night. If music be the food of love, play on, give me excess of it, that surfeiting the appetite may sicken and so die. That strain again, it had a dying fall. Oh, it came o'er my ear like the sweet sound that breathes upon a bank of violets, stealing and giving odour.
If music be the food of love, sing on, sing on, sing on, sing on, sing on, sing on, till I am filled with joy. For then my listening soul you move, for then my listening soul you move to pleasures that can never cloy. Your eyes, your mind, your tongue declare that you are music everywhere. Your eyes, your mien, your tongue declare that you are music everywhere.
Pleasures invade both eyes. Transports are they wound,
and all my senses feasted on, and all my senses feasted on.
If music be the food of love, from, of course, Shakespeare's play Twelfth Night, and performed by the King's Singers. The King's Singers, and that was a 1993 recording, and as the years pass, so do the members. I mean, I believe it was founded in 1968 by a group of six choristers at King's College, Cambridge, of course, and all the original members have been replaced, and more than once. So, horror of horrors, we are each and every one of us expendable, forsworn by the ruthless passing of time. And if love makes me forsworn, well, the sonnet from Byron to Rosalind in Love's Labour's Lost picks up the thread. If love makes me forsworn, how shall I swear to love? Ah, never her faith could hold, if not beauty vowed. Though to myself forsworn, to thee our faithful prove. Those thoughts to me were oaks, to thee like osiers bowed.
Beauty vowed, though to myself forsworn. whose thoughts to me were oaks, to thee like osiers bowed. Study his bias leaves, and makes his book thine eyes, where all those pleasures live that art would comprehend. If knowledge be the mark to know thee shall suffice, well learned is the tongue that well can he commend. All ignorant that soul that sees thee without wonder, which is to me some praise, that I thy parts admire. Thy eye Jove's lightning bears, thy voice is dreadful thunder, which not to anger bent is music and sweet fire. Celestial as thou art, O pardon of this wrong, that sings hymns praise with such an earthly tongue.
Anthony Rolfe Johnson singing If Love Make Me Forsworn, and accompanied, of course, by Graham Johnson on the piano. The song was written by someone called John Major, and I presume it wasn't the ex-Prime Minister. And I've done research, I've delved into the annals of history, and I can find absolutely no mention of him. So that will always remain a mystery. Now, Ralph Vaughan Williams, although I think nowadays we say Rafe, don't we? Well, anyway, he set Catherine of Aragon's song, Orpheus with his lute, to music from the play Henry VIII by Shakespeare, which he also co-wrote, incidentally, with John Fletcher, who, as well as being a competitor or rival of Shakespeare, took over from him as playwright of The King's Men. And incidentally, it was during an early performance of this play in 1613, Henry VIII, that a cannon shot used of a special effects department set light to the roof of the Globe Theatre, raising it to the ground. That's an interesting bit of trivia. Orpheus with his lute made trees and the mountaintops that freeze bow themselves when he did sing.
Such art, King. TRE.
Talk Radio Europe.
Musical Ramblings, presented by Francis Butler.
Well, we've just listened to the Karelia Suite by Sibelius. And before that, before the break, we listened to Ben Jonson singing Orpheus with his lute by Vaughan Williams. Now, the Sibelius that we just heard, the Karelia Suite, it was the intermezzo, and it was conducted by the Latvian Maurice Janssen with the Bavarian Radio Symphony Orchestra, with whom he spent 16 long years before he died in 2019. A rather different approach, which I rather like, heavier on the percussion than usual, emphasising the sense of a military march, which was the intention of Sibelius. And it was very jaunty, too. Now, written in the same year as the first performance of the Karelia Suite was his Opus 5, Six Impromptus for Piano. The famous English music critic Robert Leighton, whose speciality was Scandinavian music, referred to the impromptus as being, for the most part, feeble and uninventive. I really couldn't disagree more strongly. Just listen to Leif Ove Andersen play the fifth impromptu in B minor. Just take a few deep breaths, sit back, drop your shoulders, and let the arpeggios caress your entire being. Sibelius' haunting fifth impromptu in B minor, played there by the Norwegian pianist Leif Ove Andersen, winner of no less than 7 Grammys and many international awards besides. Now, Toivo Kula was both a Finn and a contemporary of Sibelius, under whom he studied for 2 years, from 1906 to 8. Kula was a fervent Fennoman, meaning he was just one of a number of nationalist groups committed to giving the Finnish language more emphasis in a country where the Swedish language continued to dominate, despite the fact that Finland had been ceded to Russia at the start of the 19th century. And I believe the controversy continues to a lesser degree even to this day, despite the fact that Finnish is now spoken by the greater majority. Tragically, as so often happens in matters pertaining to nationalistic politics, which included the independence snatched from Russia after the revolution and the ensuing civil war, argued with copious quantities of alcohol, Toivo Kuula was murdered after involvement in a heated quarrel, and a great composer was lost to the world. Now here is a prelude and fugue set for an orchestra typical of its post-romantic period. Indeed, I am reminded of Stokowski's huge orchestral transcriptions of J.S. Bach's fugues here. So let us listen to Toivo Kuula's prelude and fugue, his Opus 10, played by the BBC Concert Orchestra. Thank you.
TRE.
Talk Radio Europe.
Musical Ramblings with Francis Butler.
French erhu player Elliot Tordeau playing Concerning Hobbits, which he released as a single in 2022. And it was from Howard Shore's music score of the Peter Jackson's Hobbit movies, which were released as films between 2012 and 14 and were, of course, all based on J.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit. The single, as I said, was released in 2022, and an erhu is a two-stringed Chinese instrument that looks something like a short broom handle attached to a soundbox, one side of which is tightly stretched python skin, like a small drum, and it is played with a bow of finely stretched horsehair. I remember I used to occasionally see them in old shops down the Portobello Road when I was young, but I never realised that they required a bow, and so I could never make a noise out of them. Well, what about a bit of Gabriel Fauré? His first piano quartet in C major was written at a time when his fiancée, Marianne Viardot, had decided to drop him. 5 years of agonizing wooing and 4 months of blissful engagement, and then whoop, bang, wallop, and it was over. So, to keep things on a cheerful note, I thought we had best listen to the scherzo in the second movement, because he got the letter just as he was beginning the third movement, the Adagio. So there's no hint of the tragedy in this. We have a very nice recording with François Salk on the cello, Lise Berthaud viola, Daisin Hashimoto on the violin, and Eric Lesage on the piano, with Fauré's piano quartet in C minor.
Thank you.
The scherzo from Fauré's first piano quartet in C minor, played by Eric Lesage and friends. And apropos of nothing, I am thinking about Andalusia, and my eternal souvenir of Andalusia is the handsome lawyer who helped me through a minor traffic offence. Well, that was at least 20 years ago, if not more. And when I first met him, I went into his, what I like to call chambers in English, but that was basically his office. We had a rather silly conversation, and he approached me with a smile on his face, fairly obsequious, actually. He said, "How do you do, William?" And he politely extended his hand forward. "Hello," I responded cheerfully. "That's Guillermo, isn't it?" adding, "That's my second name, you know." "Yes, quite," he purred back in his professional voice. "Well, down to business. Let us put our noses in the grinding stone." And after 2 or 3 months of grinding stones, we finally went to court, where he duly proved himself to be a veritable miracle worker. I received a smack on the wrist as opposed to a punch on the nose, and I wrote a check with the warmest gratitude bursting from my unburdened heart. "Gosh, you really saved my hide, Guillermo," I said. "Please," he said, putting the check in his briefcase. "Just one question, Mr. William. Why have you been calling me Guillermo all the while?" "Well, that's your name, isn't it?" "No, I am called Rodrigo." "Really?" I said, "and I am Francis Butler, by the way." "No, no, no," he replied. "I am familiar with all the details. You are Mr. Francis William." "No," I said, "that's my second name, please. I'm Francis William Jolliffe Butler," I informed him with an uneasy sense of looming absurdity. "And didn't you introduce yourself to me as William?" "No, no." And the mist began to clear. "Oh, yes, that is your second name, Mr. William." "No, I am called Rodrigo Figueroa Sanchez." "Really? Oh, how do you do? Well, anyway, thank you. And please, Mr. Williams, be more vigilant with the velocity in future." "Well, the complication and confusion of all our different names leads to misunderstandings constantly. But he did get me off the traffic offence. So I'm going to say goodbye. And I'm going to leave you with Cécile Licard, who is going to play Souvenir of Andalusia by Louis Goschalk. So goodbye, and until next time.
TRE.
Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit TRE.radio.